You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahiahi marie, tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea toko ingoa, no mai, hari mai, ki various artists mō tēnei wiki. Coming up on the show today, if I can nay, I caught up with artist Julia Holdenis about her current show, The Room at Ashenby, which is currently on at Sanderson. And Soph caught up with artist Julia Arnold about her current show at Melanie Roger Gallery Retreat. And Soph also caught up with Millie Dunstall and Jessica Brown about their show together at Window Gallery, My Friends Are Home Too. He aha o whakaro, we'll love to hear your thoughts on these pieces. So tuku patahi mai, you can text us on 5395 rima toru iwa rima wai mai rane, or give us a call on the studio on 309 3879. Also, after the show, you can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com. We've got a stacked show for you today, so we are going to get right into it.
What's it all for?
Various artists.
Georgia Arnold is a Tamaki-based multidisciplinary artist working intuitively across a range of mediums including drawing, ceramics, painting, metalwork and sculpture. In her current exhibition at Melanie Roger Gallery Retreat, Arnold draws inspiration from her time spent house-sitting in the Pukekohe, letting semi-rural surroundings, new routines and everyday encounters inform the direction of a new body of mixed media drawings and sandcast charms, using her art making as an escape from conflict and a canvas for healing. The works embrace the chaos, tension, and political for messy, expressive, and loud autobiography, obscuring the subjects of her introspection in the process. So I've had a corridor with Georgia Arnold about retreat and her overall practice.
Kia ora, I'm Georgia. I am kind of a maker that works in quite a few different mediums. So yeah, I do a lot of drawing, painting, some ceramics, metalwork, and a bit of installation as well. So yeah, I do like to work in a lot of kind of mediums, and I feel like I'm kind of exploring like myself and like my place in the world, and it feels like quite kind of personal work where I'm like, yeah, kind of checking in with myself and yeah.
Very immersive.
Yeah.
Moving on to talking a bit more specifically about this exhibition. Mm-hmm. This body of work currently showing in your solo exhibition Retreat at Melanie Roger Gallery was primarily made during your time house-sitting at your dad's place in Pukekohe. I guess speaking to the exhibition's title, it does feel like there are these kind of personal and homely references that come through the works. How did this environment and idea of retreat direct your creative interests or process within this series?
Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting for like titling works or like your bodies of works. I feel like it comes quite late for me. Like I tend to kind of work backwards with like a kind of making forward practice where I kind of make to figure out things, and then it's kind of afterwards that I've kind of been able to sit with the body of work or with the feelings around the work that I can kind of title it. And I feel like, yeah, retreat really sort of encapsulated the feelings of the work and sort of being based out south. I feel like, yeah, retreat felt quite perfect just because it was kind of like, it's a word you can kind of retreat from battles and conflict and kind of prioritizing your like safety or something in that way. And I feel like it's been quite a like chaotic year, and I've sort of kind of tried to do a lot of things to sort of make myself like feel safe and all right. And I feel like actually like my art making practice has sort of been something that I've used to, I found it quite challenging. It's kind of like, can I make art that like comforts myself, or can I make art to work through difficult feelings and situations, and kind of showing up and making work despite just feeling like you're on kind of shaky ground. So I feel like that aspect of retreat, yeah, felt very relevant. And I think it's also kind of connected to like going on a retreat or like taking yourself out of your normal environment in order to be with yourself or process things. So yeah, I quite liked how this word kind of sat on the fence between, yeah, kind of going away from conflict and also sort of taking care of yourself and taking time. So yeah, I'd spent 6 months house-sitting in Pukekohe at my dad's place, and he was like road tripping the South Island at the time. And so I was walking the dog and kind of looking after the place and I ended up kind of like gardening a lot as well to kind of really feel settled, because I think I'm not used to like moving around quite so much. And yeah, it took a while for me to feel settled and able to make work. So I started kind of making work, just doing small A4 drawings at night, because it's what felt like easiest and most comfortable to me. So I think, yeah, those feelings of comfort and kind of dealing with difficult emotions is definitely present in the work. And yeah, like changing sort of family relationships and changing relationships and to space and kind of living in your home that doesn't feel like your home. And yeah, lots of kind of things to do with that. Yeah,
I think that's really beautiful, the way that you've used your art making as a way to process these things in your personal life. And it's always so important to come back to those, I guess, places of maybe more peace and solitude when you're feeling so chaotic in other spaces in your life.
Yeah. And I think, it is peace and solitude, but I think definitely like the chaotic energy and like the mark making and the, I feel like, that comes through in the works as well. Like there is often this kind of like buzz of anxiety, I feel like, behind the images. So, kind of that peaceful maybe scenes and imagery, but definitely kind of battling with this sort of chaotic mark making energy.
Put it all on the page.
Yeah.
Something that really stood out to me with this show is the way that you've presented these larger works. Rather than a standard stretch canvas, you've tacked the canvas to these boards beneath, creating these wavy like borders and tensions, allowing the backing boards to be just as much a part of the work as the canvas. Talk to me a bit about this choice. What is your thought process behind this mode of presentation, and what did that process of presentation look like?
Yeah, I was really excited about this mode of presentation, actually. I think because I like to treat a lot of what I do as kind of drawing, that even when I'm working on canvas, I like to kind of make it feel more like a drawing. And I think in the past I have kind of worked on stretch canvas and I get a little bit frustrated with the fact that I can't kind of work quite hard on it. And I found that if I stapled work to the wall or to like wooden panels, I was able to kind of treat it more like paper and it to feel more like a drawing. And I think in exposing the edges of the sort of process of making the work, it felt really exciting to me. I think I always like to have the final presentation kind of link back through to the process of how the work was made. Because, I've kind of presented work in the past with this sort of like studio logic of like, if I've used pin boards and like pin drawings to them before, or I've had works kind of hanging and just playing around with those kind of presentation methods that feel like they link to how I work. And so, for this show, I pinned works to this wooden board that echoed how the works were made. So I had stapled them to wooden board, kind of gessoed them, and then they kind of shrunk back into their own sort of tension as a piece, and then worked on it. And I wanted to bring that presentation method into the final way that the work was kind of framed, I guess. So I had a mate in film who actually managed to get me a whole lot of wood, so he was getting the kind of off cuts from the film industry that they weren't using, like they were just kind of chucking them away. So I feel like he was quite like the backbone almost of the show, and able to like providing me with all of this wood that was like perfectly good to use. So that was awesome. So instead of kind of keeping the staples though, I decided to use these tacks, and I tacked the canvas to the board, and it almost felt like, I don't know, kind of piercing the imagery too. And my sister brought up an interesting point. She sort of said that they almost feel like kind of stretched skins in a way, like there's like a kind of uncomfortableness to it, but an uncomfortable kind of feeling to the kind of tensions of the work being displayed. But also, I quite like the kind of decorative border of it. Like I quite like, I don't know, doing borders around like books or something when you're a kid, or like fences around like the mini ones in gardens and stuff like that, like quite exposing that sort of frayed decorative edge of the process.
I think it's so effective, and I love that it provides more of an insight into that process. And I'm such a fan of seeing different ways that an artist can explore presentation with a canvas, and seeing how far you can stretch that and move there. Yeah, I love it. As you mentioned at the beginning, you do work across a variety of mediums, drawings, ceramics, painting, metalwork and sculpture. And for this show, you've got both these mixed media drawings on canvas, as well as these smaller aluminium open sand cast charms, which are scattered around the work in the window, as well as one solo within the gallery space. How do you kind of see these two sides of your practice interacting with each other within the space?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. I like to sort of explore working with different materials and often kind of at once within a body of work. I'll be kind of exploring those ideas through different mediums. And so although it started off with kind of drawings on paper and then them growing to these drawings on canvas, I sort of reconnected with a foundry that I've worked with out West Auckland and wanted to make these charms. It's kind of come from an impulse to like scale up some of the charms that I've made for jewellery in the past. And this jewellery's often been for me kind of like a good luck necklace or something before I do a mural, or I've given it to my sister before she's gone overseas, or given it to my mum. Like, it's still kind of quite like, I don't know, like in the family or whatever at this stage. Like, it's this work that feels quite like special to me, and like they sort of hold energy or something, and yeah, that they help me to make work in a way. So I think it's quite cool to be making these jewelry pieces that they feel like they hold the energy that like helps me to make work and to get it ready to kind of be shown and be presented. And so yeah, scaling up these charms was super fun because you're sort of digging into this sand and kind of carving out imagery literally, which is, I feel like, sort of something that I do with paper, just that sort of feeling of kind of, yeah, mining for this imagery. And so to kind of physically be digging it out, I feel like, is such a tactile way of making images. So, yeah, I find that really interesting, and how that is still, it feels like drawing to me. And so to present the works, the metal works alongside the drawing together felt important. Yeah, I had presented them together before in like a mural work where I'd painted a mural and I had some metal works sitting on top of them. And for this show, I was actually going to kind of take that logic of like piercing the images with these tacks sort of further and then maybe like add them to the works as kind of charms, or like, I don't know, dress them up for being presented in the city. I kind of thought that it was this funny thing that I sort of wanted to do. But I think I decided that they didn't need to be attached to the works themselves. Like, I feel like the works were, they felt like they were finished in and of themselves, but I still wanted them to be part of the process because I'd always kind of considered them with these drawings. And so at the show at Melanie Roger, they are shown kind of primarily in the window space, which I really like containers, like thinking about displaying work in containers and like the drawing, the page as a container or a table as a container, the room as a container, as ways of playing with installation. And so most of them are kind of trapped in this container with one of the paintings there that also kind of has these containers within it. So yeah, I feel like they're able to kind of, I don't know, welcome people into the space or something as well. And then there's one of them that's escaped kind of into the gallery space, and it's kind of in a nice kind of gap there between the works on canvas and the drawings. And yeah, I think I chose that one because it was the only one with legs, so like the only one that could like feasibly get out of the container and like work its way into the gallery space. So yeah, I think it's fun to kind of have those little touches and be a bit playful with your installation. Yeah,
for sure. I think it creates such a nice complementary relationship and interesting conversation within the space. Your drawing practice does tend to explore this kind of playful tension between embracing the potential for these messy, expressive and loud mark makings while also depicting imagery. In terms of subject matter, although often obscured, what do you kind of find yourself interested in exploring in your practice?
Yeah, I think the fact that it is obscured is really important. I think kind of without like obscuring it, I'd find it hard to make imagery. Like, the fact that it is obscured, I like to kind of hold the mark making and the imagery on kind of equal planes. So you're kind of working with the impulses of the materials, the impulses of the marks and the impulses of like the maker or the imagery that's wanting to come out. So yeah, I think the obscuring is is important and almost, yeah, tricks me into making work. So I am sort of, yeah, sitting down and starting to draw these things, and I'm not sure kind of what's going to emerge. So I like to hold it quite lightly in terms of the image making. Like, I think sometimes there's more of like a narrative or a feeling or something that I'm kind of keeping in the back of my mind, but also a lot of the time I think drawing and making work for me is a practice of checking in with myself, and it can be something that I don't think I have to have these sort of clear intentions in order to make work. It's something that kind of clarity is kind of like created or something through making the work, but also keeping it so ambiguous. I think like going through art school, I feel like clarity of expression is something that's really prioritized in making kind of the idea of a resolved work. And I always really struggled with that. I think that I always liked kind of the scenic route to an idea or an image, and like, yeah, keeping these loose ends or elements of process within the final work. But I think in this show specifically, the imagery is definitely kind of connected to myself and my like inner and outer world. So yeah, I was like, you know, walking my dog and that kind of features, or feelings of like, I don't know, smelling cut grass or something out in Puke, like the kind of landscape of it. And then also those like relationships with myself and making work and family, and yeah, all of those kind of difficult and interesting and fun and lovely things. Yeah.
And you have such a beautiful way of explaining that. I really like the way you said a scenic route to the kind of imagery. And I think that's, yeah, such a interesting way about approaching it. And I guess that leads on quite well to my next question, because I'd love to hear a little bit more about your process specifically. I did read that there is maybe an element of mind wandering and flitting between relinquishing and retaining conscious control while drawing. Are you able to talk me through a little bit more about your process as a maker? Does it tend to look quite different depending on the medium you're working with in the moment as well?
Yeah, I think sort of how we were talking about before, I consider like all of these things as drawing, kind of despite what kind of physical medium or whatever they are. So I feel like there is like a comfortability when I'm calling all of these things drawing for myself to kind of retain a similar approach depending on what I'm working with. But that's kind of what I'm taking to it. But what the materials are taking to it is something different as well. So yeah, when I'm working with sand casting, which I love so much, you've got like the kind of like grit of the material is at a larger scale. So instead of working with like graphite or inks, you're working with actual like sand particles that you can kind of feel, or you're pushing, and you're thinking about how like the molten aluminium's gonna flow. So you're kind of, yeah, considering the materials and how they work and how they feel as you're making the work. So I think in terms of the like, yeah, mind wandering aspects of the work, I think it's in that same vein of kind of trying to hold like image making or art making lightly, and just having it as something for me that like opens up a space rather than it's this kind of destination of a certain like image that I'm wanting to achieve, or a story that I'm wanting to achieve, or a certain series of a certain number. Like it's like, yeah, keeping it open in the way that like a blank page is open. And I think I really like drawing on paper and A4 paper for that, because it seems like the most like natural and easy way to be making an image. I think maybe it's because I'm more practiced with it as well, but I'm able to just sit in front of that and have some materials around me, and then kind of intuitively I'll pick up a colour, and then I'm able to check in with myself in order to be like, okay, what colour's next? And it happens and kind of builds quite naturally. And often the practice of drawing for me is kind of knowing when to stop. Like, I feel like there are so many drawings that feel quite kind of gorgeous and open, like they have these like almost portals back to the start of the image, where you have like the blank paper or the blank canvas still visible. There's these others that feel almost like overcooked in a way, where they're like really densely layered and are charged with this kind of overdoing. Yeah, so I think drawings on paper are kind of really beautiful for that, and I was trying to take their energy through to the canvas works and treat them in a similar way. But yeah, I find I've done like oil painting before, and that's really, I find it quite tricky, I think, because I'm like quite an impatient, like fast maker, that when I'm working with that, it can get quite like muddled and quite liquid, because that's like the nature of the material, whereas like the drawing and those kind of dry mediums that I can do washes and stuff after, but kind of builds up and you have like this gorgeous kind of scaffolding of the imagery that I think, yeah, you can see like the layers of how it's been created.
That is so beautiful to hear you talk through that process more. It's such a gorgeous exhibition, and beautiful work.
I just want to say thanks. Thanks to BFM.
Shout out
thanks
BFM.
To you. Yeah, and thanks to Melanie Roger and my family. So my dad, who like let me stay at his place and work in his bedroom and turn that into my studio. And yeah, my boyfriend Finn helped me heaps, and my mum and my sister as well, especially for that like final push, getting it all done. Yeah.
Community effort.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That was artist Georgia Arnold speaking with Soph about her show Retreat, which is currently on at Melanie Roger Gallery until the 29th of November.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
95BFM is throwing Border Radio in the back of their pickup truck and taking them out on the road for a spin at Studio One Vintage Guitars, Sunday, November 16th. Come along and see Deputies Kirsten, Paul and Louie in the flesh with live tunes from Fables and Moongoose.
Oh, I said I would change the way I felt about it.
Border Radio live broadcast at Studio One Vintage Guitars, 7 till 9 p.m, Sunday, November 16th. See y'all there now.
Gar, where's your hat? No hat, no play.
I don't have one, sir.
Then go on and pick a hat from Lost Property.
Oh, sir, those hats all have nits.
It's nits or melanoma, Garth.
It's a no-hat, no-play summer, so it's lucky 95BFM have you sorted with sweet merch for your noggins. Choose from four designs, two classic cap designs, one cord design, and a bucket hat. Pre-order yours now from twotonesmerch.co.nz.
Hey, you might want to sort that Muppet out.
What's wrong with my Muppet?
Well, Sarah's going to be here on Saturday.
Sarah's coming? You didn't tell me Sarah was coming. She can't see this dreary Muppet.
Yeah, those bass lines are drooping as well.
Ah!
Fluff your Muppets and slip, slop, slap up your bass lines. It's Saturday afternoons with Sarah.
Sarah.
Saturday afternoons with Sarah, 2 to 4pm every Saturday, only on 95BFM, thanks to Decibel Wines.
Wallow Radio, 2 hours of music from Southeast Asia and its diaspora, complete with spicy takes, close inspections, interviews, and everything in between.
Hey. She wanna manage slide, that's why she got that...
Wallow Radio, Monday nights, 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. Brought to you by your hosts, Otto and JC. Only on 95BFM.
Wallowie!
Oh, that's a good art.
Julia Holderness is an Ōtautahi-based artist producing beautiful installations that combine an array of mediums such as mixed media fabrications, ceramics, textile, and painting, speaking to Holderness's continued dialogue and exploration of modernism, specifically to alternative histories of female modernism in New Zealand. Within her current show, The Room at Ashenby, showing at Sanderson Contemporary, Holderness looks to the scene of the Charleston House as a source of inspiration, presenting a body of hand-decorated ceramics, vessels and tiles, alongside selected watercolours from her studio archive, bringing the viewer into the intimate and domestic site of memory and imagination. I caught up with Julia about the show and overall practice. Would you like to start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice a little bit?
Kia ora, Maya. Yes. I'm Julia Holderness, and I'm an artist who's based in Ōtautahi, Christchurch. Since I completed my PhD through AUT and then moved to here in Christchurch. I've developed, a sort of installation practice where I exhibit a few times a year, and I create textiles, ceramics, paintings, move across quite a few different mediums, but I guess, yeah, it's really mainly a kind of installation practice. And, yeah, I get opportunities in public galleries, and I show with Sanderson Contemporary and the National here in Otatahi.
Your practice has this long-standing interest and exploration of art history, specifically to modernism and Aotearoa female artists such as Frances Hodgkins and Rita Angus. Do you want to speak a little bit to your interest in art history and modernism, as well as this continued dialogue that your practice seems to have with these historical figures?
Yes, so my PhD explored a device I use in my practice, and that is the invention of a historical figure called Florence Weir. She's a made-up figure and based on a sort of number of different women, and I'm particularly interested in a kind of multidisciplinary practice. And she gives me ultimate creative freedom to explore a range of mediums and how artists from often that modernist period, like Sophie Tober Arps or Frances Hodgkins, often like turned their hand to other art forms or even industries, really, and I find that really fascinating. So Florence allows me to explore modernism and kind of make up these frames of reference. Florence was born in New Zealand, but spent time living in different parts of the world. She kind of intersects these different movements. Like, I say that she was the only New Zealander to have ever studied at the Bauhaus. So my interest in modernism, I guess it's just that there was a huge time of change, and I've always been interested in the women artists of that time who are kind of such a discovery. They sort of, yeah, perhaps when I was a teenager and looking at art history, I perhaps wasn't sort of so aware of some of the artists I look at now. So I kind of think there has been this shift, and yeah, it's all about that kind of overlooked figures.
Your show Room at the Ashenby, which is currently on at Sanderson, it presents a beautiful and intimate display of new ceramics alongside selected watercolours from your studio archive. How did this specific body of work start to develop and find its momentum? Did these watercolours from your archive kind of act as a starting point to this new body or ceramics?
Yeah, so last year I had another show at Sanderson called Botanical Pursuits, where I was looking at the role of gardens and women. So the Garden Museum in London had a wonderful exhibition, which I sadly didn't see, but it was called Gardening Bohemia, and it looked at the role of gardens in that kind of Bloomsbury time. So Vanessa Bell's garden at Charleston, her sister Virginia Woolf's at Monk's House, and some other women in the group who might not have necessarily been artists but were supporters of the arts and had incredible gardens and estates where they met and had this real freedom to just sort of be in the garden, like they often would maybe do like performances or just like run around naked and take photographs and just, yeah, wonderful, like, artistic kind of social life. I don't know. Anyway, this gardening exhibition I thought was, yeah, this exhibition was really great to look at paintings, but also, like, ephemera that related to this idea of women and the role of their gardens as this very much this creative space. And I love gardening. That's become a big thing for me. And, yeah, in some ways my studio and my garden kind of intermingle, because my studio is, like, right in my garden.
Mm.
And I'm actually doing another project now based on an early botanical painter called Emily Harris. And so I've got all these, like, specimens of native plants, and there's, I've got lots of sort of, I don't know, cuttings and vases and things in my studio. And so this exhibition last year called Botanical Pursuits was imagining Florence living in London, and sort of like the fact that she might live in a kind of flat or apartment, but that she had connections with people who had wonderful gardens, and that perhaps she even did a little bit of garden design. There were tiles in there, so I thought of her kind of doing tile design, and there were a few vases with botanical imagery. There were watercolours. It was kind of this fancy of one of the exhibitions of fantasy. One of the exhibitions was called A Charleston Fancy, and it just really kind of explored my interests in Vanessa Bell, the garden as this creative private space for women. Yeah, so then when I kind of just didn't feel quite finished with that, really. I wanted to keep exploring it. And so this room at Ashenby, it's actually an exhibition where there's no mention of Florence in a very direct way, but I guess she's always a kind of spectra there present for me.
Mm.
But I wanted to explore more ceramic surface design. And yes, you're right, I did look at these watercolours I've been doing of gardens. I had these works that were actually in one of the vitrines in the Modern Woman exhibition, and I thought about that. They kind of remind me of sort of garden plans. I've got a cousin, Andy Hamilton. He's a garden designer in Auckland, and he really responded to my works. He sort of said they remind him of kind of early landscape design images, kind of from sort of aerial perspectives, like sort of planting plans and things.
Mm.
And so yeah, they worked from kind of 22, I think. And then I wanted to try that sort of image making on my ceramics. And yeah, it's just so joyful for me to explore that surface design on these vases. I mean, it's really quite a wonderful way of making a painting. I kind of think of it as painting, because you're just working on a surface, but it's an interesting surface in that you have to move around, and it's kind of, it can't all be viewed at once. Yeah, I just wanted also to bring back in tiles. So tiles and vases I thought were a nice combination. And also, yeah, so there's a strong reference to Charleston and painted surfaces, painted furniture, and then beautiful little ceramics that Vanessa did. They were all just potting away, painting away, cooking.
Yeah.
It's this idea that we don't have to separate out art making from our daily lives and our interiors, right? Like, it's all mixed in for me, and it's just as fascinating to see a little ceramic by an artist as one of their, like, great paintings, you know, to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just,
No, it's so it's got that layered quality. It's, I don't know, it makes it really, really intimate, and you're not just painting on a canvas, but rather something with its own inherent histories and its own memories. And I love the painting on it, and this the exploration of alternative surfaces in which image, pattern, and colour are really explored and thought through in these different ways. This wonderful hand painted vessels and tiles really shift the painted image and bring it into a embodied form. You did already speak a little bit about it, but why the specific choice of tiles and vessels as this carrier for these painted marks?
I think it's the vases with the connection to bringing the garden inside. But I think that these vessels are not really probably going to be used for flowers. People may do that, but I feel like they kind of stand alone, like they're so busy and rich, obviously. Like, personally, if I'm going to have flowers, I like them in a glass vase. Like, there's nothing better just to show off the flowers but and greenery. But, yeah, I guess it's that connection to garden. And tiles, I love tiles because they can be just sitting on a surface, leaned. It's this like really informal little painting. It's like, yeah, I just think tiles are really rich. Yeah, I actually worked on found tile and just the surface that enables me to paint. Yeah, and I just thought it might be a nice combination of having the vessels being the sort of hand thrown and then the tiles, some of which are hand built by me and or, as I say, found tiles.
Yeah, and on these beautiful ceramics, you did already talk about it, but you have got this beautiful garden imagery that slips in and out of abstraction and into a kind of inherent pattern making that is abundant with beautiful gestural painterly marks. I'd love to know a bit more about your creative process. Could you talk me through the process of creating the painted image on these ceramic pieces, because it must be, yeah, quite hard to work around that that 3D it's form.
Lovely description, thank you. They are, to be honest, quite unplanned, but I kind of pick up a piece, so I have my shapes and forms and I sort of sit with them for a while, and it's always quite nerve-wracking, like, getting going on them because, you know, there's been a certain amount of resource and effort to even just get them to this bisque stage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, God, am I going to, you know, just muck this up and waste this piece?
Mm.
But also there's kind of two parts of that, to that question. I'll tell you. So I use Kiwi underglazes, and I think they've got an amazing colour range. So I've got a number of colours, and I also mix my own colours. For example, I just mix like black and blue to get like a really beautiful, really dark midnight blue. But I really have got quite a number of colours, like possibly, I don't know, 40 colours or something.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And then so I just want to say that. So I do that, and then I either do a clear glaze on top, or some of them have a matte glaze first, and then I paint on top of that with the Kiwi underglazes. Now, that's actually a kind of a style called Majorca. And to me, it just gives this quite rustic kind of old school look that I'm going for.
Mm.
But there's a couple of the vases which have more of a sheen, and they've got or more of a gloss, I should say, and they are kind of just more like a clear glaze on top. So I don't always glaze them in the same way. But then I have another thing I do that gives me more freedom, I think. Okay, so I use something called porcelain paint. Now, this is something that just goes on after the glaze firing, and often it's maybe used by ceramicists to kind of fix something.
Mm.
It's used by hobbyists who want to paint their own, like, ceramics, I guess, and again, huge range of colours. But I've actually just got a limited range. I've got this really wonderful golden yellow and a blue and some greens. And it's just a way of kind of enhancing or just going a bit further. When I get them out of the kiln, it's like another, because, yeah, you do have less control, I think. You would definitely agree with that, with ceramics and say painting.
Yeah.
So it just gives me another shot at enhancing or just adding something. Yeah, so what I wanted to tell you about my process is, yeah, working with like a three-dimensional form, is I often look at paintings. So there's one with this kind of blue tree. It's called Olive. It's not necessarily an olive tree. And it's based on this painting by André Durand, who was a fauvist. So I've kind of looked quite a lot at fauvist landscapes. And I love how they were using sort of, yeah, unusual colours, I guess. And I've got this kind of blue tree, and it really is based on that was kind of the starting point, and it's based on a painting. And then it just kind of, it's just really intuitive, to be honest. I just think about it, it's almost sort of got, they've almost got like three or four sides, and I'm just thinking about just trying to make that each of that view look interesting. And it is, as you say, it slips from some kind of potentially kind of floral image or leaf pattern, and then it might just become quite abstract. I'm just thinking about colour all the time, and I'm just moving it around and moving it around and just layering it up, and I just do each piece on its own. So yeah, I didn't make the, I didn't throw the forms. I designed them and got a local ceramicist called Hannah Mackay to make them for me. And so yeah, I get the joy of decorating them. Sometime I would like to make some hand-built vessels, and I do hand-make some of my, my tiles.
Wow, so it's kind of nice collaboration in a way. That,
yeah.
That paint on that form. And yeah, even though, I don't know, there's kind of this inherent response to the form as I think as you're moving through it, there would be that, yeah, recognition of that form and that shape would, yeah, have maybe an active voice in the image, if that makes sense.
Exactly. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also wanted to touch on the installation of the show itself. I love how there is this really feminine, domestic feeling about the space, both through the installation of these shelves and the close pairing of works, along with the soft blue feature wall that shifts the gallery space into the domestic. Is that something you find really important about presenting your work, creating this more homely space within the gallery?
Yeah, I do. Installation is really important in my work. I'm often thinking about colour schemes, and for any artist working with objects and installations, yeah, display systems are like really kind of hard.
Yeah.
You know, to work out what the best way to exhibit, all the, you know, artists have been trying to problem this, solve this for so long. And yeah, the gallery have those shelves, and they actually worked really nicely with the scale of the vases and the tiles, I thought, and just that mix of being able to group some together on the longer shelves and then having the singular shelves. And the blue was one of the backgrounds that the photographer used. I worked with Ryan McCauley, who lives here in Christchurch, and he did a lovely job photographing the works against coloured backgrounds. And I thought they became really part of the work and hinted at, sort of lovely colours in a home environment. So, yeah, definitely trying to just convey slightly that idea of a room of, the domestic and, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it does such a lovely way, just as the vessels and the ceramics kind of extend the painting itself, and then that feature wall acts as that next layer of extension and, yeah, expansion of these colours and forms and patterns, and really, yeah, makes into a really embodying space, I guess.
Yeah.
That was Julia Holderness speaking to me about her current show, The Room at Ashenby, which is currently on at Sanderson Contemporary until the 7th of December.
Various artists, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
My Friends Are Home is the second installation of a collection of Millie Dunstall and Jessica Brown's photographic works currently showing at Window Gallery. Presented on window vinyl and splashed with painted buttermilk, the show sees these transparent photographs depicting the artist's friends in their flats in Tamaki Makaurau, inviting a certain intimacy and conversation between the images and the viewer themselves. Like a time capsule, the photographs carry qualities of nostalgia and sentimentality, allowing the viewer to have insight into not only what those intimate relationships look like in the artist's lives, but also their own. So I've had a kōrero with Minnie Dunstall and Jessica Brown about the show and their collaborative practices.
Kia ora, I'm Jessica. I'm pretty fresh to Tamaki. I moved up 2 weeks ago, but I'm an art documenter. So my practice is primarily photography. Yeah, my practice involves just using, I guess, my role as an observer to inform my practice and kind of what I'm seeing and recording. I think parts of my practice that are important to me are kind of collaborative storytelling and the core kind of nature of friendships and, yeah.
Kia ora, I'm Millie. Yeah, my practice at the moment, I'm focusing a lot on photography and where that can kind of be like brought in without kind of calling myself a photographer. I guess it's really like using my phone or using little point and shoot cameras to make images that feel like they're really capturing the atmosphere of like the moment that I'm experiencing, because I like to see something and be like, oh my god, like I have to have that, and then like you might look back or you'll never look back at it and see if like the energy is still there. Yeah, I've been making like banners over the past few years, and that's where Jessica and I's collaboration has like come in, with like documenting these photo object banners around different sites of interest. And then, yeah, just interested in like branding and the landscape, like the visual landscape of my immediate world. And yeah, I guess just like trying to find things to be passionate about.
You kind of touched on it there, Millie, a little bit about how you guys kind of first started collaborating. And I guess I wanted to start there before we get talking a little bit more about the show itself. In terms of your collaborative process together, are you able to kind of walk me through what that relationship and process looks like for the both of you?
Yeah, I guess the first time.
First time was in like 2022.
Yeah, which is funny. Like we didn't even really know each other.
No.
And I just banged your line because I wanted to, I made these soft sculpture bows out of felt, and like I was like feeling pretty dark because I'd been like hand stitching them, and I was like, oh, and I was going to put them on these hoardings for, in Pōneke, there's the old Chinese church, and then they've built these like crazy apartments behind, they're like big and green on Taranaki Street. I can't remember the number, but as they were building that, I became enamored because they had this like elevator in their scaffolding, and I was like, that's so sick. So I put all these love hearts, like gold and pink love hearts, and then asked Jessica to photograph them, and then that, like, we spent like an hour together, and then you like did the editing, and then yeah, and then I printed it on a banner and then showed it at the Fulton Hogan Rongotai Depot. I was really obsessed with construction at the time. And then, and then Jessica came to that opening, and then we just kind of kept doing it.
We kept going, yeah.
I want to talk obviously a lot more about your current show at Window Gallery, My Friends Are Home Too. It kind of, in the show, we see these quite intimate photographs of your friends presented on window vinyl, and I want to talk a little bit more about this presentation in a moment, but I guess more on the photographs themselves. They create this quite interesting tension or conversation between the public and private as these almost time capsules of nostalgia and these relationships in your lives. What kind of interests you guys about this kind of public-private tension in the works, and I guess the choice of subject?
I guess with that, and I feel like as well, like you just moving here is kind of like part of that again. I guess it's like life in itself, like being 25, having your frontal lobe develop at this like rate that kind of surprises you, and then you feel really existential, kind of gets you like, I don't know, it really resonates with this practice of being like, oh, you know, I'm so sentimental, I've got my flat room, and now I'm leaving, it's got all my stuff, like I always take photos of my bedrooms before I leave. And then I was thinking about my mates, because Tom and Perry, they've moved now to, shout out Tom and Perry, BFM GOAT, moved over to Berlin now, and so, yeah, Jessica and I did like an art swap right before I left Wellington, and she was like, oh, I'll do some photography for you for this painting, and so she came up, and then we like went around photographing the banners in people's, like our friends' flats. And yeah, and I guess it's just that whole thing of like everyone feels that sentimentality about objects or things or places, and you kind of like can find yourself in a lot of states of like grief, like over mates going overseas.
Yeah, it's become something that's been like a lot more apparent recently, but I think the thing that's really important is, like, it's really funny because, like, a lot of our friends who we took photos of have moved from these flats, and it's really important to kind of create this time capsule. I think my role as an observer and photographer is just, like, being able to kind of stop time in its tracks and like offer like a little piece of something like personal, and I do feel like quite sentimental for this project because I've just moved as well, but
totally.
Yeah,
I think it's so nice as well because it does feel like, from a viewer's perspective, it feels, I think particularly with the images being right on the window, it feels like you're really immersed into that as well. And it's such an intimate environment that's created in depicting these moments and allowing us to kind of come into that as well and really get insight into that. I guess that leads nicely to talking a little bit more about the installation of the images themselves are presented on window vinyl, but they're also layered with this buttermilk painting over the glass of the window, opening up for this almost blurred, dreamlike navigation of the images. Talk to me a bit about this choice. What was your kind of thought process behind this mode of presentation, and what did that process of presentation look like?
The window vinyl is like heavily inspired by the bus, which like don't even let me start talking about the bus, but the bus is a really awesome place where a lot of inspiration lies. Yeah, that vinyl Chinese woman Guangzhou Airport Terminal bus is like the title, if I'm remembering it correctly. I recently traveled to Europe with my best friends, and we were on the inside of this bus, and you could only see the black, like, inside of that vinyl. So you know how when you go inside the space, you can only see the black of the backs of the vinyl? It's kind of about that, and then being able to like imagine what's on the other side. Like, I could tell from the silhouette that it was a woman with her hair done up. She has like maybe earrings on, and we're in China, so I'm like, she must be a Chinese woman advertising this like airline, the China Southern Airlines, also a great airline, by the way, guys. But yeah, so there's that, and then also the mark making of fogging windows. Like when we were in Scotland, in Edinburgh, there was this like painted on foggy something, and I just googled it up, and then this guy was like, buttermilk does this. So it's like literally buttermilk that you get from the supermarket. But yeah, I feel like the installation was kind of crazy. We had a bit of a tough time.
Yeah, the installation was a bit crazy. Yeah, this presentation of these photos is another iteration of a show that we had in Waihi earlier in the year. And we presented those photos quite differently. They were pretty straightforward photographic prints. And for this, using the window vinyl and like playing with the perforation, it's like letting the viewer kind of filling in the gaps a little bit.
Yes.
It's like playing with this aspect of like kind of hiding and revealing, and yeah, letting the viewer kind of fill in the missing piece for them.
Yeah, and like the further you get back, it's kind of easier to see. It also totally depends on like the time of day with the light coming in.
Yeah.
And then also we found like, and you know, I shouldn't say that we didn't know this was going to happen, but like when someone walks behind the vinyl and you're looking, their silhouette like saturates the vinyl enough that you can actually see more of the image. So it's this whole thing, like it's already a real meta thing having the banners like inside the photos, and like Cheska said before, the whole like time capsule thing. Yeah, it's like it and like, oh, you said like freezing time, or like pausing time, which is an impossible thing, which is what photography like almost does but doesn't. It's almost like freezing memories. But yeah, it's like a very dynamic installation, as opposed to the one we did previously, which was a bit more trad but like still super sentimental because it was in my family home. But yeah,
I did want to talk a little bit about, I guess you've touched on it there, the different ways you've installed this show, because you did previously exhibit it in Waihi first. And I guess maybe it ties in a little bit to what you were saying, Cheska, how like the show feels a little bit more personal having just moved as well. And I guess it does feel quite rooted in these kind of ideas of location and locality. Is there any kind of different way that you've seen the show, I guess, in Tāmaki, or do you feel like there's kind of a different interpretation of it in a different area in New Zealand? Is that playing a part at all?
I feel like in terms of, like, knowing, like, people knowing who's in the images, maybe that.
Yeah, I guess maybe the subjects kind of like reinforce the locality a little bit with this one.
But yeah, also, no shade to Waihi, but there's not a whole lot of contemporary art.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like, it was so much fun and it was so
It was cute. Really fun, yeah.
And like, yeah, my family friends and like parents' friends pulled up, which was like the sweetest, like pigs in a blanket came through, you know, just like, you know, I've got to get Uncle Tony's special beers or whatever. But yeah, no, it was like, I think also what like watching people interact with the space and yeah, like I don't know, knowing that a lot of people probably will just walk straight past Window Gallery, like that's kind of also part of just the way that like everyone interacts with the landscape of the world. Yeah, I guess like the show in Waihi was like very intentional. There was kind of like quite a natural viewing process where you go from one room to the other, they're all at the same height and like you can kind of be like, this is how to look at the art. Whereas like, I feel like at Window, it's maybe a bit more like, where is it?
And yeah, then you're like, what am I looking
yeah,
at?
Yeah, because Jessica had this lady be like, oh, you know, you can't see those, eh? Like 2 days in a row. She was like, you really need to put something behind those. I cannot see them. And it's like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's the point, babe.
Yeah,
totally. She was like, you should really think about putting a piece of paper behind that.
I'm like, oh my God.
She came back the next day and said it again. I was like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's cool.
I love like a visceral response. You know? Like,
so
even
passionate.
Like a flash of anger, it's like, ugh.
At least you felt something.
Yeah,
thank
let
you.
It talk in your mind. Let it follow you throughout the day and like totally. See it every time you go to the library and be like, yeah. Those girls know nothing.
God, I guess you kind of touched on it there, that maybe there isn't really a direct intention for how the works are engaged with, but if there is, do you have any particular hopes for viewers engaging with the show at all?
Mia, who is one of the Window Gallery curators, she did this really beautiful text and curatorial response on the show, and she kind of talked about imagery and the way that it was like, returning to an image is kind of like returning home, and home isn't necessarily like one specific site or one specific thing. It's like it's like little observations that kind of like remind you of something that's already been been there.
I feel like my hope is always that people will like take that viewing experience or like see, I don't know, I feel like you can really feel the sentimentality, even if you have no idea who the people are or where they are, like, it's kind of like, you do kind of intrinsically know what you're looking at, and then, yeah, I would like for people to then go and look at their own space and be sentimental about their own things. I was thinking in the car on the way here, like, and this might be kind of cringe, but, like, the sooner we can all appreciate our lives and like the sooner we can all be grateful about like small things and kind of like learn to be present, the better our lives will be. So I'm like on a constant pursuit of like seeing cool things, whether it's like muck on the window of the bus or like something like that.
That's beautiful, Millie.
Oh, no. Thanks.
Yeah.
That was Millie Dunstall and Cheska Brown speaking with Soph about their show My Friends Are Home Too, currently on at Window Gallery. The show runs until next Window, 19th of November, at Window Gallery in the University of Auckland General Library.
Various artists.
Ko era te hōtaka kato mō tēnei wiki. Nei te mihi ki a koutou katoa e korero mai ki māua mō tēnei rā. That's all for us on Various Artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us, Georgia Arnold, Julia Holderness, and Millie Dunstall and Cheska Brown. Nei rā hoki te mihi ki a koutou e whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95bfm.com or check out our Instagram at 95BFM Various Artists for more. Next up, we have got The Land of the Good Groove with Murray. I'm Maya, and that was Various Artists. We'll catch you next week. You're listening to 95BFM. Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.